This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a partly cloudy sky now and 67 degrees. It's a race against the clock to find those still missing following last week's flash flooding in central Texas. Fox's Marianne Rafferty has more.
Search and rescue crews are battling rising waters as they continue their search for victims of last week's devastating flash flooding in central Texas. With more rain falling, the sheriff's department is warning the already swollen Guadalupe River could rise another 1 to 2 feet. The flooding is blamed for at least 82 deaths across multiple counties, and that number is only expected to climb. Dozens more are missing, including at least 10 children and one counselor from an all-girls camp in Kerr County. The camp sits near the Guadalupe River, which rose nearly 30 feet in under an hour during torrential rains overnight into Friday. Texas governor is vowing that crews will search until every victim is found. So far, more than 850 people have been rescued.
Breaking news here on KNSS this morning. Police are investigating a mass shooting in Philadelphia that left at least 3 people dead and 10 injured early today. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel says children were among the injured.
Around 12:56. Officers hear gunshots. They respond to the location. We have about 13 individuals who were shot, of which 3 have been pronounced.
It happened in the Grays Ferry neighborhood in South Philly. It's the latest shooting in what's been a violent July 4th weekend in Philadelphia. A mass shooting early Saturday morning at a bar in South Philadelphia left 8 people injured. Wichita police say a 33-year-old man has been arrested for first-degree murder in the death of his 2-year-old stepson.
On Thursday, police responded to Wesley Medical Center after the boy was brought to the hospital with severe injuries after a reported fall. The investigation revealed the injuries suffered by the child were inconsistent with the facts provided by the stepfather, who was caring for the boy at the time he was injured. The stepfather was arrested Thursday for aggravated battery and child abuse. The boy, identified by police as John Landon Delano, passed away Saturday morning from his injuries. The stepfather was booked into the Sedgwick County Jail on a charge of first-degree murder. Patrol officers and investigators from the Exploited Missing Children's Unit and the WPD Homicide Unit are investigating the case. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Police say a 32-year-old man is dead after a shooting in East Wichita Sunday afternoon. Officers were called to the 7,000 block of East Lincoln just before 6 p.m. for the report of a shooting, and police found a man lying on the ground with a gunshot wound. He was taken to a local hospital in critical condition, later pronounced dead. No word from police on possible suspects in the case. A suspect has been arrested in another Wichita homicide.
Wichita police responded early Friday to a report of an assault in the 3,000 block of North Fairview near 29th and Broadway. A caller reported seeing a man attacking another man. That suspect fled the scene before officers arrived. They found the victim, identified as 43-year-old Cesar Gonzalez of Wichita, unresponsive in a parking lot. Officers located the suspect, a Wichita man, in the 300 block of West 29th Street North and took him into custody without incident. The suspect was booked into the Sedgwick County Jail on charges of first-degree murder. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
38 people were treated at Wichita area hospitals for fireworks-related injuries during the 4th of July holiday. At the 5 Wesley Healthcare campuses in the metro, 22 patients were treated for various injuries, including burns and lacerations. The total is less than the 28 patients seen at Wesley in 2024, last year. Most patients were treated and discharged and sent home. One required a surgery consultation. Ascension Via Christi reported 16 injuries during the same time period. Even after passage, the debate continues about what the effects of President Trump's signature spending package will be.
Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson says the most important economic part of the bill was making the 2017 Trump tax cuts permanent.
The bottom 20% of earners saw their lowest federal tax rate in 40 years.
Johnson says the legislation builds on that by eliminating taxes on overtime and tips.
The average American, the typical American household, will have $13,000 more in take-home pay.
But California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna pushes back on that claim.
I just don't think that taking away the health care with the Medicaid cuts and food assistance to give the tax breaks for the very wealthy is going to be good for working and middle-class Americans.
Both men appeared on Fox News Sunday. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:05, 5 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:08, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment has issued an exposure alert after a positive measles case was reported at Wesley Medical Center in Wichita. The alert is for anyone who spent time on the fifth floor pediatric unit, building 4. And if you spent time at the hospital between 10 p.m. July 1st and 4:45 p.m. July 3rd, the KDHE advises you to take steps to prevent further spread. Fighting intensifies as Russia and Ukraine struck each other with hundreds of drones Sunday, and Ukraine's President Zelensky says he struck a deal to produce even more drones.
For days, Russian drone strikes have been pummeling Ukrainian sites. Now Ukraine is on the offensive, firing off so many drones into Russian territory that they disrupted service at Russian airports, including key international hubs like Moscow and St. Petersburg. Both sides have managed to shoot down several of the other's drones, but a few civilians have been killed on both sides this weekend. And now Ukraine's President Zelensky has announced his country has struck deals with a leading U.S. defense company and Denmark to step up drone production. He said the deals will ensure Kyiv receives hundreds of thousands more this year. Jill Nato, Fox News.
New Yorkers are not letting sharks keep them away from beaches near the Big Apple.
A sunny and warm 4th of July weekend that even brought the sharks out to the beach. At Rockaway Beach, NYPD said on social media that 3 sharks have been spotted in 2 different sightings, which led to beach closures 2 days in a row. A shark swimming just 100 feet away from swimmers here in the area of Beach 113th and Beach 115th Streets. Deputy Mayor Kaz Daughtry said the shark was last seen swimming back into open waters. Now Rockaway Beach is back open for swimming. People came back out to cool off while being mindful of the shark risk. Reporting from Rockaway Beach, I'm Meredith Gorman, Fox News.
The head of the Catholic Church is taking a summer break to relax.
Pope Leo XIV saying he's taking a, quote, brief period of rest and will spend the next 6 weeks at the Papal Palace in the hilltop town of Castel Gandolfo, about 15 miles southeast of Rome. The late Pope Francis stayed away from that summer retreat during his 12-year pontificate. Pope Urban VIII built the Papal Palace in Castel Gandolfo in 1624 to give popes an escape from Rome. It's been enlarged several times and now stands at 136 acres. Pope Leo has been going nonstop since his election on May 8th. Paul Stevens, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:11, 11 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Traffic conditions looking very good this morning here in the Wichita area. Some of the heaviest traffic right now, K-15 and MacArthur. K-15 just north of there, southbound. I'm also seeing little bits and pieces of heavy traffic there. That's what we got going this morning. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast on this Monday morning with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. A high of 91, could feel like 100 degrees. We'll see isolated storms this afternoon. Partly cloudy this evening, then another chance of storms after midnight. Overnight low 71. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, high 92. A chance of storms in the afternoon. Sunshine and low 90s on Wednesday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now mostly cloudy, calm, and 67 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 6:12 in the morning here with Steve and Ted on this Monday, July 7th. We had a partly cloudy day with rain across south central Kansas Sunday. Spotty rain, Wichita's high 92 degrees, normal high 92. And the weather says, the National Weather Service says 1/100th of an inch of rain Sunday at Eisenhower Airport. That's 0.01. Well, we had 0.8 of an inch in Riverside in a late afternoon shower there. It rained really hard for about, 15 minutes. Got almost an inch. And last Sunday, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that, I recorded an inch of rain at our house. So we've had pretty good rain. The airport gets almost nothing, and I get an inch. How about that? I'm way ahead.
Oh, good for your grass.
Yeah. On this date in 1908, the temperature in Salina fell to 46 degrees to set a record low temperature for that city in the month of July. 46
in July.
1908. And it was on this date in 1785 that the Continental Congress established the dollar as the official currency of the United States. 1785. I suppose they were using the pound before that.
Yeah, probably.
All right. The dollar's been around a long time. Hey, Kentucky, talking about dollars here this morning, a Kentucky woman used the numbers from inside a fortune cookie to play the lottery, ended up winning $50,000. Lexington resident Kathy Bailey told Kentucky lottery officials she copied the numbers off the back of the fortune inside her daughter's cookie and used them to buy a Powerball ticket and place a $5 wager on the Golden Snake Triple Play game on the lottery's instant play page. Bailey said her winnings will help her plan for the future. In other words, she didn't have any idea what she's going to do with it. Maybe just buy, 50,000 more lottery tickets. Something like that. All right.
I wonder what the message on that cookie was.
Yeah.
You will suddenly come into money. Your lucky numbers are.
Yeah, you will be coming into a great fortune soon. Ooh, wow. That's pretty good. By the way, Ted's getting a day off this morning. Ted Woodward is not with us this morning, but he's in good shape. He's doing well, I'm sure. After last week, you guys had the whole thing last week. You guys do all right, Ted? You and Jad? Jad, you and Ted?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything went fine.
I'm sure. It runs pretty smooth, doesn't it?
Well, we try.
Firefighters called to a stretch of interstate in Pennsylvania after a crash involving three tractor trailers resulted in mozzarella cheese being spilled across a 200-yard area. Firefighters arrived on the scene, determined that one of the trucks had been hauling dozens of shredded mozzarella cheese and was split wide open with the debris all over the roadway. Pennsylvania Department of Transportation had the area of the road shut down for cleanup operations. I'm sure it took a while.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese, shredded cheese. It would be quite a mess. All right. Fireworks are over. I'll talk about what I did on the 4th. And, Jed, if you want to chime in, we'll do that here in a few minutes. But
okay, cool.
We didn't have a lot of excitement, but from what I saw, a lot of people were shooting off thousands of dollars worth of fireworks. Wow.
Yeah, there were a lot. You know, I was actually surprised when you mentioned the hospital's numbers.
Yeah, 38 injured. Yeah.
I was kind of expecting this year the fires and the injuries to spike because of how much more could be done fireworks-wise this year than what I would say is normal. But looking back at, this 4th of July compared to when certain things weren't legal before, there wasn't a whole lot of difference. We were never enforcing those laws anyway, apparently.
No, apparently not. All right, coming up on 6:17, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Jad Chambers on the sports desk this morning with Lead Off Sports this morning. Jad?
That's right, and there was no shortage of action at Equity Bank Park yesterday. Wichita Wind Surge at the biggest comeback in the history of the franchise. It looked pretty bleak early on. Tulsa Drillers put up 7 in the top of the first inning, but the bottom half of the inning, Wichita managed to close the gap to 2. They put up 5 themselves. Tulsa got it back to 3 with a run in the second, but in the bottom half, Ricardo Olivar crushed a game-tying 3-run home run. The Surge took the lead in the third with their next run. Tulsa got back the lead with 2 runs in the fifth and the sixth. But the Surge managed to take the lead after Olivar doubled up with the bases loaded and cleared them. After some more back and forth, the Wichita came up with a 15-13 win over Tulsa. So, yeah, it was a really exciting game for everybody there at Equity Bank Park.
Don't go to the restroom, you'll miss something.
Yeah, big old pitcher's duel there. The wind surge got the win. Ricardo Olivar ties a franchise individual RBI record, 7 in a single game.
Wow.
Yikes.
It's a good day.
It really is. Wind surge remain home this week. They begin a series against San Antonio. That's Tuesday night, tomorrow night at Equity Bank Park. The Kansas City Royals wrapped up a 7-game road trip last night in Arizona. Some fourth inning heroics put the Royals over, and it started with Bobby Witt Jr. You heard that game over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. So Bobby Witt Jr. started things off with a solo home run. Later that inning, Salvador Perez came up to bat with no one on. And he got another solo home run. So that's 2-0. They managed to get a pair of runs in the fifth as well, but they didn't really need them. Michael Lorenzen, the starter for the Royals, struck out 7 in 7 dominant innings. Royals shut out the Diamondbacks 4-0. Royals back at Kauffman tonight, hosting the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can tune in tonight at to KFH at 6:30 for Royals baseball. Continuing on with the Royals just for a little bit, Bobby Witt Jr. is headed back to the All-Star game. It's his second straight All-Star game. 25-year-old has a Major League most 30 doubles this season, tied for second in the American League with 24 stolen bases, third with 104 hits and 44 extra base hits, and 173 total bases. So Bobby Witt Jr. is really lighting things up out there. Went pretty well, and now he's going to be going to the All-Star game. He's just the fourth Major League player in history to get 30 doubles, 20 stolen bases, and 10 home runs before the All-Star break. So not too bad there. Joining him in the All-Star team, Chris Bubich, the American League Pitcher of the Month back in May. Bubich went 3-0 in 5 May starts with an American League best 0.56 ERA. It's the best mark in the month of May in Royals history. He's in his first full season since returning from Tommy John surgery, which he underwent back in 23. A lot of representation for the Royals at the All-Star game this year. We've got the New Orleans Pelicans on Saturday announcing the signing of former Kansas center Hunter Dickinson to a two-way contract. A two-way contract will allow a team to sign a player who can split time between the NBA team that signs them and its G League affiliate. The Pelicans G League team is in Birmingham, Alabama. Dickinson will also play for the Pelicans Summer League team in Las Vegas. So good news for a former Jayhawk there. And that's sports on Steve and Ted in the morning.
621 KNSS. Keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. The importance of sleep rhythm. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh here, 6:30 on this Monday morning and 67 degrees. Authorities in Kerr County, Texas, give an update concerning the deadly flooding.
The number of those killed by the flooding in the county continues to grow. Kerr County Sheriff Larry Letha provided a Sunday afternoon update.
We have recorded 68 deceased in Kerr County. Among those who are deceased, we have 40 adults and 28 children.
Several campers and one counselor remain unaccounted for from Camp Mystic, the Christian summer camp overrun by the flood. Kerrville City Manager Dalton Rice.
Nothing is more important than bringing comfort and clarity to those who are waiting and grieving.
Hundreds of first responders from different organizations are working in the area in response to the tragedy. Authorities say they are all working as one team. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
More than 80 have been killed statewide in Texas, and that's the body count so far. The Kansas Highway Patrol reports a Wichita man is dead after a motorcycle crash in northeast Kansas Sunday. The crash occurred on the turnpike in Osage County. The patrol reports a Harley-Davidson went out of control and skidded into a ditch, ejecting its rider. The patrol says 69-year-old Christian Kaufman of Wichita was pronounced dead at the scene. A man died in a motorcycle crash in northeast Wichita Saturday afternoon at the intersection of Rock and Oxford Circle. The motorcyclist and a vehicle collided while going through the intersection. EMS pronounced the man dead at the scene. Emergency crews say the motorcyclist was not wearing a helmet, and the name of the victim has not been released. The Ellsworth County Sheriff's Office says the bodies of two people missing following a boating incident Thursday were recovered Saturday and positively identified by family members.
Authorities said three people were swimming at Kimball Point at Kannapolis Lake when the current carried their boat away. They weren't wearing life jackets and were unable to make it back to the boat. One of the swimmers, Reagan Dahlke, was pulled out of the water by concerned boaters who had seen their empty boat hours earlier. The other two individuals on the boat included Reagan's 44-year-old father and her 14-year-old best friend. Dahlke was initially transported to a Lindsborg hospital and was later airlifted to a Wichita hospital in serious condition. The man was found near the area where they first went missing. The teen was found by a boater by the face of the dam. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
President Donald Trump is talking tariffs again.
President Trump on Air Force One says he's reaching out to U.S. trading partners. Special delivery.
You have hundreds of countries. You know, you have over 200 countries. And you can't sit down with 200 countries. I think the letters are better.
They could include European Union members who he still doesn't think are paying their fair share when it comes to tariffs. He's pushing them to quickly make new deals before a Wednesday deadline.
I think we'll have most countries done by July 9th. Yeah.
The letters warn countries that the higher tariffs could kick in as early as August 1st. But in true Trump fashion, he's also hinting he could extend the time for deal making. Daria Albinger, Fox News.
Last Thursday, Congress passed President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, despite fierce opposition from Democrats. Kansas 4th District Congressman Ron Estes says the consequences would have been dire had the bill not passed.
You look at the bill and you look at, I mean, Kansans across, and Americans would have faced a 22% tax increase next year if this bill hadn't passed. And for Kansas, it averaged about $2,200.
$2,200, yeah.
Just for next year. And if you look at over the course of the next 5 years, it had been over $10,000, almost $11,000 in extra taxes the Kansans won't have to pay. And at the same time, we're projecting that their salaries are going to go up because of the economic growth out of that.
Ron Estes was a guest Sunday evening on the John Whitmer Show on KNSS. And now look at the forecast with Jake Dunn.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. A high of 91, could feel like 100 degrees. We'll see isolated storms this afternoon. Partly cloudy this evening, then another chance of storms after midnight. Overnight low 71. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, high 92. A chance of storms in the afternoon. Sunshine and low 90s on Wednesday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now mostly cloudy, calm, and 67 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Keep it here. An hour from now, we'll check in with Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. It's called Mondays with the Mayor with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And again, 67 degrees this morning on the 7th day of July. And it was on this date in 1802. This would be 223 years ago. The first comic book was published.
Really?
In Hudson, New York.
Huh.
It was called The Wasp, and it was created by Robert Rusticote. There's probably some sort of picture of that on the internet. I didn't search for one, but
yeah.
The Wasp, maybe it was a, it sounds like it was about a, I don't know, maybe a monster, The Wasp.
Who knows?
1802.
The Wasp.
Going back a ways. Let's see here. A survey, I don't know if you guys saw this last week or not. A survey from the website Finance Buzz claims that Wichita is the second most boring city in the nation.
Did you talk
about that last week?
We didn't talk about it a lot, no.
Oh.
We mentioned it, but we didn't talk about it a lot.
A little bit more on it this morning if you're just getting up. After the 4th, going back to work, we are a boring town, folks.
Yep.
Some of you already knew that. The metrics used to reach that conclusion include the culinary scene, tourism, outdoor activities, and signature events and attractions. Wichita didn't fare as poorly as Jacksonville, Florida, which took the title of the most boring city in the U.S. Corpus Christi, Texas comes in third. When it comes to Wichita, the survey noted that while the population makeup of the city and the availability of outdoor recreation activities stack up fairly well with other cities, food and tourism are where Wichita falters. How about that? Well, we try.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the top zoo in the entire Midwest. That's, you know, that's for visitors.
And well, actually, I put the story, I kind of storified it for the KNSS website and put the story on there. Did a little deeper research. They pretty much assumed that our events and attractions weren't very good without looking into them, because that metric was specifically judging just the tourism numbers.
Hmm.
And so they weren't really judging our attractions based on whether or not they were good. They were judging them based on how many people visit the city.
Hmm.
And nope. I don't know that that really accurately represents how good your events and attractions
did
are.
Did we get any listeners responding or on the Facebook or anything?
I didn't see any, no.
Okay. Well, frankly, we are kind of boring in some ways. But, you know, every time my wife worked for Rent-A-Center for 8 years, and she did some traveling, and she said every time she came home, the pace had slowed down a little more. She said it was kind of refreshing because those big cities, they're in a hurry. But anyway, I don't know if that's what they're measuring here. Anyway, we're the second most boring city in America. We got to go for number one on this thing.
I suppose so. But you know what? In some ways, that's actually kind of good. Well, think about how few times I have anything really huge to mention about what's going on in traffic.
Well, yeah. And look at what we're mentioning in Philadelphia. There, South Philly's been real busy this week.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They're not boring there.
No.
They're out shooting people by the dozens, okay? Joey Chestnut reclaimed the mustard belt for the 17th time as Nathan's annual hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July. Yep. He missed last year's competition due to a conflict of interest over a sponsorship with a vegan hot dog brand. Joey scarfed down a total of 70 and a half hot dogs in 10 minutes. He didn't beat his own personal record, which he set in 2021 with 76. So he came up a little short. Apparently he had 30 of them down in the first couple of minutes, and he just blitzed everybody from there.
Yuck.
Joey, the hot dog man. All right. 6:38 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And it's time for the KNSS Commodities Update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Jad. Well, the cattle complex back on Thursday traded mixed, but mostly on the upside. Live cattle made new highs for the week and closed positive with triple-digit gains. The feeder cattle did not make any new highs for the week, but did close positive. Cash cattle trade last week appears to be steady to slightly lower. Lean hogs made new lows for the week and traded and closed mixed on bear spreading action. On the close Thursday, August live cattle, $1.60 higher, $2.1405. August feeders, 47 cents higher, $3.0950. And August lean hogs were down $1.80 at $106.10. Now Thursday, the wheat, corn, and soybeans were unable to hold their new highs for the week. Only the wheat and soy oil closed on the negative side. Now Thursday, there were flash sales of corn and soybeans announced. And last week, September KC wheat gained 2 cents on the week. December corn gained 10 cents. November beans gained 25 cents for the week. Now, rumors last week of China buying U.S. grains were never confirmed, and the market left open chart gaps to the downside last night and is trading with double-digit losses at the moment. September Kansas City wheat down 11.5 cents at 524.5. December corn down 13 cents at 424. November beans down 20.5 cents at 1028.75. August crude oil unchanged at $67. August gold down $30.60 at $3,312. September S&P down 18.5 points at 6,306. September dollar index 21 cents higher at 97.02. And September Dow Jones futures 26 points lower at 45,074. Well, for commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Hey, Tom, got to do a little traveling. Last week I was off. Not out of state. Went up to Wilson for a day. You know where Wilson is, up in the north part of Kansas?
Yes, sir.
You got any people up there? You know anything about it?
I don't know a lot about the area. I've hardly been there but a few times myself.
We had I'd never been there, frankly, and we stayed at a place called the Midland, which is a hotel over 100 years old, which has been refurbished, and it's very, very nice rooms. But it feels like you're in 1920 or 1910 when you go in there. And it's historically quite a hotel because many of the scenes, or not many, but a few of the scenes in the movie Paper Moon are actually filmed in that, in and around that hotel. You remember Paper Moon?
I didn't realize that.
Tatum O'Neill was 10, and she got an Oscar for that. She and her dad, remember that? Yeah. And interesting place. They also have right there in just across the square from there, one of the largest painted eggs I've ever seen in my life. It's 20 feet tall. It's Czech country, and these are Czech painted eggs that are very popular up there. We had a good time. We were up there for about a day. So interesting. Had a little, going to see some of Kansas. Saw a lot of guys of fields and crops and so forth. It was fun to get around and see this. Get around and see the state a little bit. Obviously, you had a safe and sane fourth. I mean, you're back on the air this morning. You didn't lose any fingers or anything, did you?
All of them right here. And
all right.
And got fed well over the weekend.
Got fed. Good.
Yeah, so everything turned out good.
Good. Good to have you back. All right. Thank you, sir. We'll check with you again tomorrow morning. That's Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. On the way, we have the KNSS. Don Grant, CFP the Money Tracker, on the way. Going to talk about housing prices coming down. Is that a misprint, Don? Or is it down or should be up?
They're coming down,
they're coming
baby.
Down. All right, we'll hear about it coming up. Steve's Hit of the Morning here on KNSS. Steve's Hit of the Morning, KNSS, 6:47 here on a Monday, July 7th. Three big things.
Three.
Police investigating two deadly shootings in Wichita.
Two.
38 people treated at Wichita hospitals for fireworks-related injuries over the 4th.
One.
At least 80 dead and many missing after devastating floods hit central Texas. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic cameras showing the traffic on the highways here in the Wichita area, they are starting to pick up a little bit, starting to see some more traffic on Kellogg right now around I-235, especially eastbound there. So those traffic volumes getting a little heavier right now. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Prosecutors, well, let's look at the weather. 20% chance for morning rain. Then mostly sunny today with a high of 90 degrees. 30% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 70. For Tuesday, 30% chance for rain again. Tomorrow's high, 91 degrees. Now mostly cloudy, calm. 67 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Prosecutors in Colorado hope the second time's the charm as they retry Barry Morphew for the murder of his wife, Suzanne.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. It's take two for the husband of a woman who disappeared on Mother's Day 2020. Barry Morphew is being charged again with first-degree murder in Suzanne Morphew's death. 3 years after the initial case against him was dropped because of concerns with the evidence. A year after prosecutors dropped their case, Suzanne's remains were discovered accidentally. A 2024 autopsy report shows Suzanne died of unspecified means but ruled her death a homicide, citing traces of a drug cocktail used to tranquilize wildlife, something Barry had a prescription for. A forensic anthropologist says it's likely her body decomposed elsewhere before moving to the site where her remains were found. Barry has maintained his innocence ever since his wife disappeared, his lawyer telling Fox News Digital, quote, the case has not changed and the outcome will not either. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
A 4th of July rally on Wall Street Thursday.
Stocks ending higher following a strong June jobs report with both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 hitting all-time record closes. U.S. stock trading ending at 1 p.m. Eastern time ahead of the Independence Day holiday. The June jobs report is lowering expectations that the Fed will reduce rates anytime soon, but at the same time reaffirm the resilience of the U.S. economy. Employers adding 147,000 jobs during the month, exceeding the 110,000 that economists had expected. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase and Microsoft, the Dow decliners 3M, Merck, and Procter & Gamble. The Dow rising 344 points, the NASDAQ higher by 208, S&P 500 up 52. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, keeping an eye on what's going on with housing, right, Don?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it was inevitable that with these soaring housing prices that they would eventually start to come down. Capital markets and real estate markets are consistently changing, as we know. Well, I talked to a successful 35-year-plus real estate professional in Austin who is an agent broker as well as an investor, and she recently lamented to me about how much Austin real estate, Austin, Texas, is dropping in value. Her property alone has dipped 19%. She says that's true in other formerly hot markets like Florida and Arizona as well. In reaction to the dips, housing starts have plummeted to five-year lows. In May, construction of new homes fell nearly 10% as builders pull back amid waning demand. They're not going to put in more homes into a market if they anticipate weaker sales. Now, some parts of the country, like the Northeast, have big housing shortages. Many builders want to build more, but they're experiencing labor shortages, rising input costs, land, and prohibitive regulatory hurdles. New multifamily housing starts have dipped more than 5% on a 3-month moving average since the end of last year. The boom in multifamily housing that came online in 2024 and early 2025 has brought down rents into the Sun Belt and to mountain states. However, that's being quickly occupied, so those rents may be going back up. If you follow the markets, big ticket purchase decisions like vehicles and homes are on the front line of decelerating consumer spending. They're often the first sectors hit when the economy slows. High levels of uncertainty are goosing that weakness. Builders with new inventory on the market have reported price cuts and significant sales incentives like mortgage rate buy downs. And of course, every market is going to be different. So it may be slightly different here than it is in some of those bigger cities. But if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 316-267-0600.
Okay. So according to some people's research, Wichita is the second most boring city in the U.S. What do you say to that?
I disagree with that. They don't know what they're doing. They probably looked at some algorithm from something. Come on, man. I was listening to you earlier when you were talking about this, and they were saying about there's no culinary. Come on. I could name 10 restaurants in 2 seconds that have amazing chefs, amazing food. The Wagon Masters Downtown Chili Cook-Off attracts 10,000 people. The Wichita River Fest is a 9-day event that fills the streets. Did you see those concert pictures drone pictures of how many people are there? Come on, give me a break. That's baloney.
That's the kind of things that we do that other cities don't do. They might do one festival a year. We do about 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh,
whatever.
There's so many things that go on. Music theater, Wichita, just. The concerts that go on Friday nights. I mean, come on. That's baloney.
That's baloney.
But you know what? That's okay. Keep it quiet so we can have it to ourselves.
Keep quiet. We want to share this with anybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, I had lunch. I didn't have lunch with Jen Ray at the Monarch, but my wife and my grandson Nolan and I last week did have lunch at the Monarch, and Jen came over and said hello to us, so.
The food there is amazing. I think Jen came up with most of those recipes, but that's not just bar food. That's good stuff.
No, we had an excellent sandwich in there. I had their baked potato or their potato salad, whatever they call it.
Right, the hot.
Really good.
Today is National Day of Rock and Roll, an unofficial national day to champion the pioneers that helped change the norms and redirect the history of music. I don't know why it's today. It doesn't say. The genre reflected the joy of an emerging youth culture and inspired both black and white artists. Rock and roll music evolved from the beats and lines of about 6 other popular music genres, according to this script that I'm reading to you. I don't know how accurate it is. What's the first rock and roll song you can remember?
I do remember getting a 45 when I was a kid, the Stones. And at one side was Ruby Tuesday.
Really?
And I remember playing that over and over and over and over. I'll stop there.
Okay. My first one I can remember Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets.
Oh, yeah.
And that, they say that's the first rock and roll really widely known one that I know of.
Yeah, there was a lot going on then. Well, oh, yeah. But when I came into the world, yeah. That was considered oldies.
Yeah, that was oldies.
Now oldies is the stuff that
played last week.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Don. Did you have a good fourth, by the way?
Yeah, good. It was good. We went to an event and watched some beautiful fireworks and had some good food. And
can't beat that. Good.
Yes.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for being with us again this morning. Ted with his morning off, 7 o'clock coming up. Top of the hour news with Steve and Ted. Devastating flooding across central Texas. We're going to tell you all about that. Wichita police investigating a couple of deadly shootings. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.